did, wouldn't you? He gave His life for mine. Now you know what He wants? He wants yours in return. Go ahead, Miss Shelley. Amen. Right. Thank God. Me too. Yep. Hallelujah. James chapter number 5. It's amazing what we take for granted. It is. It's absolutely amazing what we take for granted. I wonder sometimes if the Lord doesn't sit in heaven and look at us and say, you ungrateful brat, child of God. Amen. Till I was a teenager, I didn't know there was another way. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't know anybody believed there was a way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. I'd never heard of a Buddhist or I'd surely never heard of Islam and never heard of Jehovah's Witness, Mormons. I'd never heard any of that stuff, man. All I knew was that Jesus Christ was the way to heaven. We take that for granted. Amen. Take it very much for granted. We ought to pray for the lost of our nation. I'll tell you what it's saved. I'll tell you what it's saved. All that jihadist mess. Win them people to God. Amen. That put a stop to it right there. Amen. James chapter number 5, and I'm going to look at then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm going to look at some scriptures tonight and just give you some preventative maintenance or give you a vitamin that will ward off. Everybody's getting a flu shot. And you go ahead. I'm not against it. I just ain't getting one. No, anyway, that's for another day. But they give you this shot to ward off what you may get. And I want to give you some scriptures and a thought tonight to ward off what may happen to you. Today we had Fetch the Fallen or We Miss You Sunday. Our objective was to go after people who were once in church who are now out. And here's what I was wondering as I was sitting on the platform this morning. I wonder if we do this program again next year, how many of you will be on the list that we go after to get back in church? Can I say that again? How many? I made a list this week, and I made quite a few phone calls and sent out text messages trying to get people that I know of who should be in church who are out of church. I don't mean God moved them to another church. I mean they're out of church. And some of them, just a year ago, they were here. And they were just like you. Now listen, if you're not careful, you think you're above that. What is the difference between you and that backslid Christian who is out of church tonight? How far away are you from them? Just about that close. Just about that close. Some of you, I know some things that are going on in your life, and it wouldn't take much. I could purposely say something from the pulpit, do you in? Y'all okay? Somebody could do just the wrong thing at this point and period in time, and you'd be out. You okay? Look at James chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Listen, I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to wind up being somebody, I'm on somebody's list. Did you hear, Brother Eddie's out of church? I don't want to be that one. I don't want to be the one that everybody's requesting prayer for. I want you to pray for me, but not because I'm out of the will of God. Amen? But I've got to understand that I'm no more above that than you are, and I'm certainly no more above that than the people I tried to reach this week. Yes, yes. Amen. Did you know a couple of the people that I spoke to this week, neither one of them showed up, but they went on and on about how glad they were I called. Yeah. Amen. Amen. They want to know somebody cares. I'll get to the message in a minute. They really do. They didn't think I was calling them in condemnation. I just said, hey, we're having our fall program, and tomorrow's our Sunday's We Miss You Sunday, and I just want you to know I miss you. I said, when I thought about my list, you were one of the first ones I thought about. I sure would love to see you in church. Well, man, that means the world to me, they said. It didn't mean too much, but anyway, they know I cared. Amen. Amen. Listen, I didn't get discouraged. I told Brother William, this morning, I said, man, not nobody I invited showed up. That's all right. Monkey's off my back. Yeah. Amen. But listen, what is the difference between you and them if there is but a step between you and a backslidden state? And I don't want you out. I want you to make it. I want you to be in. I want to see your children in. I want to give you some things tonight that I believe will help you. Look at James chapter number 5 and verse number 12. James chapter 5 and verse number 12. He said, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye what? Fall into condemnation. Hey, watch this. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful when you're judging others. I bless God. I tell you one thing. That won't ever happen to me. Where you got a guarantee against that? Let me just throw one at you. Throw one at you and see how this settles in. Happened to David. David, a man after God's own heart. David, a man who played his harp and drove the evil spirits away from Saul. David, who killed a lion and a bear with his bare hand. David, who killed Goliath. David, who they sang songs about in Israel. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. It happened to David. Now, let me ask you another question. Who are you? Who are you? Bibba sings that song, who am I that a man would bleed and die for? Who am I? If David got sideways with God, who am I? If Elijah and Moses got sideways with God, who am I? Y'all better listen. We get to thinking, go to 1 Corinthians tonight. We get to thinking just a little bit too highly of ourselves sometimes. We take our spirituality for granted. You think because you've got right with God one time, you automatically stay that way. You think you arrived to this spot spiritually and nothing can move you from it. Nothing can move you from salvation. Nothing can move you from your standing with God or your state with God, but your standing can move. Am I right about it? Just because you got right with God don't mean you stay right. It takes a continual effort to keep that thing that way. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Simple little verse. A lot of people can probably quote it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look at verse number 12. Here's what Paul said. Wherefore, let him that what? That thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Do you know what? I can tell myself all day I'm all right. I can tell myself all day, boy, I'm glad somebody's here hearing that message. They really need it. Y'all are, well, you're going to get quieter before the night's over. Amen. I can sit there and convince myself I'm okay. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Don't ask yourself where you stand. Ask him where you stand. If you ask yourself, if you look yourself in the mirror and say, all right, self, where do you stand with God? Self will chime in real quick and lie to you straight face. That's bad when you lie to yourself, ain't it? How many of you guilty of it? Say amen. I mean, stand there and look in the mirror and go, you're all right. At least you're better than so-and-so. Oh, you're doing a whole lot better than old brother so-and-so is. You could be where he's at tonight. Compare yourself to Jesus. Look in that mirror and look at yourself through the eyes of God and see where you stand. I don't know about you, but that humbles me pretty good every time. Every time I compare myself to Rusty, I'm okay. I mean, I'm not saying Rusty's bad, but I'm okay. I compare myself to Brother Jerry or Joe or Brother Robbie or Brother Freddie, and I'm doing all right. But wait a minute, I'm comparing myself to people just like me. Fallible, foolish. We okay? People who make mistakes on a daily basis, it's easy. It's easy to compare yourself to them. But when I compare myself to Jesus, I'm looking at holiness, righteousness, sinlessness. I'm coming up pretty short. How about you? Amen. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Hey, I didn't ask you how you thought you are. How are you? I'm not asking you how you think you are. Hey, just because you're sitting on a pew don't make you right with God. That don't mean there's a fire burning down in your soul. You can sit on a church pew and be cold and as lost as last year's Easter egg, man. Amen. How do you know, preacher? I've done it. I've sat right there and done it. And if I can sit right there and do it and be your fearless leader, don't tell me you can't sit right there and do it. Somebody help me. I'm preaching to you tonight. I don't want to be on the list. I want to be the one making a list, going after the fallen. I'm not saying I'll never fall. I fall all the time and get back up again. Thank God I've got those who help me when I fall. And that's what our job is as a church, to help those who have fallen. Amen? Let him that thinketh he standeth, taketh heed, lest he fall. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Y'all doing okay tonight? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Right before the little book of Titus, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul said to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. I'm not 100% sure he's even talking about just being saved. Examine yourself. Where's your faith at tonight? Where are you standing? I can remember when some of you were so on fire for God, we'd have to stand on you. You were so excited about this thing of Christ being in your heart and your life. You were so excited about the sins being gone. You were so excited about the peace in your heart. I mean, you were just about like a ball just a bouncing around this place. Amen. If you can remember a time when you was more on fire for God than you are right now, your standing has changed. I mean, just let that soak for a minute. If you can remember a time when you was more excited about the cause of Christ than you are right now, your standing has changed. You've moved. God hasn't. He's still right there wanting to rejoice with you again. He's still right there wanting to witness with you again. He's still right there wanting to pray with you again. He hadn't gone anywhere. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. But if you're like me, we change every day. Yeah. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. I want you to watch these first two words of this verse. But, say it with me.
Watch.
But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, but watch. Listen, here's what you've got to do to keep your name off that list. I'm talking about that missing in action list. You've got to watch. I ain't talking about watching William. Ladies, I ain't talking about watching Shelley. You've got to watch yourself.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to have to watch yourself. My biggest spiritual problem in this whole world is me. My biggest problem that I battle with and deal with day in and day out is me. To try to keep my mind, I'm crazy as a fruit bat, man. To try to keep my mind straight and to keep my thoughts right and to keep my thoughts pure and my heart pure. Man, I have to work on that.
Amen.
Y'all listen to me. I have to deal with people. Did y'all understand it's easier to deal with a bunch of old drunks on a construction job? You can cuss them out, threaten to hit them with a shovel, and they'll do their job and go on. It ain't like that, Pastor. I thought about trying it. Amen. I mean, boy, you just deal with all this, and you deal with this one's problem, that one's problem. You hear this bad news, this bad news, this bad news. I have to watch myself. In other words, to stand where I am, I need a little extra help.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to give you some things you better watch after tonight. Number one, you need to watch your will.
Amen.
How many of you have a strong-willed child?
Yes, sir. Amen,
I do, too. Strong-willed. In other words, you know what a will is? A will is a want or desire. In other words, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. What is that? That is an ill will. That is a will that is not yielded to Christ. We need to yield ourselves to Him, and we need to do that on a regular basis. You know what it takes to yield? You know what the yield sign on the roadway means? Come on, some of y'all, how did you get license? Give way to. Give right of way to. That means you step aside and say, you go right ahead. Amen? We've got to watch ourselves. You know what we do? We want to do it our way. I'm next. It's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. You remember what the Lord said? Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 42? When he was praying to the Lord in the garden, he said, not my will but thine be done. You know what he was doing? He was yielding. If Jesus Christ needed to yield to the will of the Father, you and I need to yield ourselves to the will of the Father. Amen. He said, I pray thee, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Nevertheless, here's my desire. Here's my will. But never mind, Father. My will doesn't matter. Yours does. Some people are perfectly happy as long as everything's going their way and they're getting exactly what they want. It happens with children. You and I both know it. I don't consider myself the perfect parent, by no means. But have you ever told your kids no on purpose? Not because you disagreed with what they wanted, not because you couldn't afford what they wanted, but every now and then they just need to hear no. You don't get your way every time. Y'all listening? I think it's good child rearing. They get their way every time. That's what they expect. Do you know what I've learned since I got saved? I don't always get my way. I don't always get my wants. I feel sorry for one of my kids when they was little, if they stood up in the grocery buggy and held their breath till they got what they wanted. I say, I'll take you out of here on a stretcher easy, I can take you out in this buggy. Amen. I've told my kids, I raised my kids, and I've taught my kids, listen, every now and then daddy's just going to say no. Can I go to so-and-so's house? No. Why? No. That's why. Amen? Somewhere along the line, that strong will has to be broken. You don't want it done in a court of law. Y'all listening? It's like the boy in the old building told me he's tired of his family telling him what to do, so he's joining the army. He said, I'm tired of them telling me what I got to wear. I said, hope you like green. Amen. They're going to tell you when to get up, when to go to sleep, when to eat. They're even going to tell you when to go to the bathroom. They're going to tell you, yeah, brother. Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. Do you know what the major, major purpose of boot camp is? Brother Greg, you tell me if I'm wrong. It's to break the will of that soldier. Amen. It's to bring him under control of another so they can perform as a team. Is that right? Of course, it's about getting in shape and being able to do the job, but they got to break the will of that soldier. That's why them sergeants ride them so hard. Listen, man, you need to submit your will to the will of the Father. Yeah. Amen. Well, bless God, I'm not going back. I'm just not. I don't like the way this happened. I don't like the way that. I don't like this decision. I don't like that decision. Hey, just submit. Yeah. I've had to do it over and over and over and over and over. Just submit to the will of God. Amen. Do you know what? His will's a whole lot easier to take if you submit to it. Yes, right. Amen. Brother Earl said, if you'll just submit to the will of God and quit fighting and kicking, he might lay the hickory down, pull you up in his lap, and love on you for a little while. Does that make good sense? Amen. Some of us need to watch our will. What we think? Well, I think. You know, sometimes I think that's our problem. We think. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I don't care. You say, that's rude. Hey, God don't care either. Well, getting quiet, I know. Getting quiet. God doesn't care what you think. He's already told you how it is. Well, I'll tell you what I think that scripture means. Yeah, go ahead and straighten God right out on it. Amen. Y'all okay? We're not supposed to be spiritual robots. God wants us to be thinkers. God wants us to have opinions, but God wants us to submit our will unto Him. And you know what? I've had to do that more than one time. I've had to submit my will unto Him over and over and over and over and over. I've always got an idea about what to do. And it's usually not a good one. Amen? To submit your will, listen carefully, means you're seeking His. I know people right now who know the will of God for their life, but they refuse to receive it. Amen. They know what God's will for their life is, but they want no part of it. Amen. So they fight it, and they kick against it, and they try it their way. How's that working for you? Watch your will. Watch your will. Number two, watch your ways. Watch your ways. Used to, there was an old saying when I was a teenager, we'd run into a buddy and say, how you doing, man? Or where are you going? Where are you going? They'd say, to hell if I don't change my ways. Y'all remember that? You ever heard that statement? How you doing? Where are you going, man? I'm going to hell if I don't change my ways. Now, listen, changing your ways don't keep you out of hell. I mean, that's just a bad thought process. I mean, that's a work salvation. Changing your ways don't keep you out of hell. But if you're saved, your ways ought to change. If you're saved, your ways ought to change. Look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. I have to watch my old ways. How about you? Sometimes my old man wants to get up from the dead and resurrect. You ever had this thought? Bless God, they better be glad they didn't do that 20 years ago. You know what you're doing? You're embracing your old ways. Right. Amen. We don't want to go back to them. We sure do like to visit them and think about them. Got quiet. We're supposed to enjoy that our way has changed. Not remind everybody, oh, if you knew what I once was, you wouldn't talk to me like that. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 7. The Bible said, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. How about that? Amen. When a man's ways what? Please the Lord. How should my ways be? Your ways ought to be pleasing unto God. Yeah. Not pleasing unto me. You know, that's what a lot of people's problem is. They try to live up to a church's standard. Yeah. I grew up that way. Oh, I gotta live up to Brother Sammy's standard. I got to live up to Brother Ballou's standard. I need to please the Lord. My ways need to please the Lord. Your ways covers a whole big area. Would it not? Your ways would cover your actions, your attitude, your habits. Amen. Are your ways pleasing unto the Lord tonight? I'm trying to keep you off the list. Or is your will submitted unto God? I'm trying to keep you off the list. I mean, I don't mind calling you, but I don't want it to be to get you back in church. Because you're out for one reason or the other. Do you know I can think of 1,000 reasons for you to stay out tonight? I could help you. I really could. I've heard them all. I could sit down with you and I could give you 100 reasons not to come to church next Sunday. I could say, look here, if I was you because of this and that, I'd just stay home. You know what? Sometimes when I hear some of your excuses, I'm like, I don't blame you a bit. You ever feel that way? I don't blame you a bit. I wouldn't come back either. I got quiet again. But I can give you one reason to stay that out trumps them all. It's Jesus Christ. He's bigger than every excuse you can come up with. Amen? Is your will submitted unto Him? How is your ways? Is your ways pleasing unto God? Well, just give us some thought. What if I asked your coworkers that? What if I went down to the job where you worked and say you weren't there tomorrow? You took a day off and I went in and said, hey, old brother so-and-so, don't you work with him? Oh, yeah, yeah. Tell me about his ways. What kind of person you consider him? You think his ways are pleasing unto God? You probably get a lot of that. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. God's pleased with him, uh-huh. He'd be pleased to strike him with lightning. Amen. Y'all okay? I want my ways to be pleasing unto God. Listen, sometimes my ways are not going to be pleasing unto man. Part of Villa Rica don't like our ways. Our ways are tried and our ways are true. The gospel has always been delivered in that manner. When the world starts enjoying and embracing our ways, we may be off the mark. He didn't say when our ways are pleasing unto man. He said when our ways are pleasing unto the Lord. When my way pleases the Lord. That, in other words, that's the Lord looking at my life going, I like what he's doing. I like what he's doing. He's got it figured out. Of course, I'll never have it figured out. But I want my ways to be pleasing unto God. Amen. I want my attitude to be pleasing unto God. Listen, a lot of us have a problem. Is we get saved, and 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Is that right? Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That means our ways should change. Amen. 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 But what we do is we get saved, we like to nurture that old nature, that old way. Yeah. We like to embrace that. Yeah, sir. Amen. We like to remember and brag about who we were. Stacy's not here tonight. He had to leave to go to work. But if Brother Stacy and I get around together, we grew up together. Brother Robert and I, we grew up together. I've been around some of these people all our lives. Brother Charlie and I, we grew up together. If we're not careful, we're not spiritually deep enough to talk about where we are, so we got to go back to where we've been. And if we're not careful, that's all we'll talk about. Okay? I want my ways to be pleasing unto the Lord. I don't want to be so spiritually weak that I don't know any other way. I haven't grown in the Lord, so that old way's all I've got. Amen. Changing your ways to please the Lord is a process. It's a growing process. You don't just wake up one morning, oh, okay, my life's pleasing unto God. No, it takes a lot of work. I'm still working on it. And if you're spiritual enough, you're still working on it. You have not arrived. Some things are way better than what they used. My temper is way better than what it used to be. My language is way better than what it used to be. Amen. My mind really is better than what it used to be. I doubted for a long time if I was saved because of the way, I knew I got saved, but I couldn't understand it because of the thoughts that would go through my mind. And it was just memories, most of it. And I think, man, if you're really saved, how could you think that? Because it's in there. Because it's in there, man. It's like a computer. Once you put it in there, it's in there. Yeah, right. You ain't getting it out. It's in there. Amen. Amen. I had to work on that thing to change my way. I'm not the same husband I was when we got saved. Not the same daddy I was when we got saved. I'm telling you, over the years, a lot of my ways have changed. But I do realize just because I've been your pastor for 18 years, that doesn't mean my ways have arrived. That means I'm still going in the right direction. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Amen. Are your ways pleasing unto God? If they're not, are you working to make them that way? Are you working to make them that way? Listen, Christianity is not just a state of being. It's a lifestyle. Amen. You ever met one of these, and I know some personally, and I won't name their names, but have you ever met one of these, I don't know what you call them, Brother Freddie, the people who, the herbs and the herbalists, is that what you call them? The health. Huh? Holistic, that's right, they're holistic. You ever met one of them? I've never met one that really had a balance to them. I mean, brother, when they buy into that thing, fruitcake's a good word. I wasn't thinking that one, but I like it. Amen. I mean, they will drive you absolutely crazy. I was going to say some questions that I was asked. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. They've got a cure for everything. Oh, take 97 of these a day and you'll get over that. Listen, I believe what I'm saying is they buy into that lifestyle.
Lock, stock, and barrel. Usually, when they buy into that lifestyle, they start selling the product. I'm going somewhere. They get so sold on this natural, herbal, medicinal whatever that they believe it so much that they not even only want to take it, they want to sell it, and they want to indoctrinate everybody else with it. And they're well-meaning. Listen, I don't know about you, but I bought into this thing of Christianity when I got saved. I believe in it with all my heart. I not only want to have it, I want to sell it. Y'all okay? I not only want me to be saved, I want you to be saved. I not only want me to be happy, I want you to be happy. I'm saying it's a lifestyle. It's not just who we are, it's what we are. Amen. And for that to happen, our ways have to change. Those people who sell into the holistic thing, I mean, man, they change the way they shop, they change the way they eat, they change the way they cook. Everything has to change. And they better change the way they make money. Doing right ain't never cheap, amen? Even when it comes to eating. Watch in all things. Watch your will. Your own willpower. Watch your will. Get to the point where what you want doesn't matter. All that matters is what the Lord really wants. Amen? I want to be a millionaire, but He may not want me to. I wanted that painting Brother Jason found to be worth $78 million. I wanted it to be, but no matter how much I wanted it to be, it was a copy. You know what I'm saying? What I want doesn't really matter. I'm slowly figuring that out. All that really matters is what God wants. And the only thing that's really going to be good and worth anything is what God wants. Amen. Watch your will. Watch your ways. Listen, let me give you a third one. I'm trying to keep you off the list now. Watch your words. Watch your words. Go back to James. I don't want to jump you around the Bible too much tonight, but it ain't going to hurt you none. James, go back to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3, I can't find it myself. Watch your will, watch your ways, watch your words. Watch your words, James chapter 3 and verse number 2. Watch what he said. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not a word, the same is perfect, is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Wow. Why? Because he's got his tongue under control. Watch your words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell.
That's right.
Amen. I've got a quarter horse at the house. And he's got a mind of his own. But I got a bit I can put in his mouth. And me, I weigh 175 pounds. Seems funny to say that. I can put that bit in that horse's mouth. He weighs about 1,400 pounds. And I can make him turn left. I can make him turn right. I can make him go. I can make him stop. I can make him back up. Why? I've got control of his mouth. Is that a good analogy, Brother Clint? I've got control of his mouth.
Amen.
If I've got his mouth, I've got his feet.
Yeah, bro.
Wow. That's thought, isn't it?
Yeah, bro.
If God's got your mouth, He's probably got your heart.
Yeah. Amen.
Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what?
Speaketh.
If God's got your mouth, He's probably already got your heart. Amen?
Yeah.
Watch your words. Watch your words. I'm talking about how to keep you off the list. Amen. Two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak. Amen. Think about your words before they come out of your mouth. Well, if it goes through my mind, it comes out my mouth. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You do not say everything you think. Some of you men wouldn't be married anymore. Y'all okay?
Watch your words. Biggest reason is not because of what they do to other people. It's because they always come home. Some people are so careless with their talk. They discourage. They depress. They destroy with a critical, cynical spirit and cutting words. We must watch our words. Our words ought to be kind words that glorify God, that bring blessing and confidence and healing to others. Amen? Wouldn't you agree? Man, I want what I say to somebody to be a blessing to their day. Amen. I'm going to meet strangers tomorrow that I've never seen in my life. What impression will I leave on them? I'm going to sit next to somebody on the plane. I've had them tell me, I'm not interested in talking. They just want to be left alone. Good indications when they get on, stick that iPod in their ear. I mean, before the plane ever even takes off, before the stewardess ever makes her little spiel, they got that music cranked up, they don't want to talk to you. But we leave an impression on everybody we meet. Amen. Amen. Watch your words. Be kindly, affectionate one to another. Amen. Amen. Watch what you say as you deal with the public on your job. Amen. I'm afraid most Christians need some PR classes. Public relations. Man, you ain't got to be a jerk. You don't have to be a jerk. Several years ago when I started bow hunting, Brother Anthony Waters came on a Sunday night, and he said, man, I got a deer stand over here. He said, it's got deer all over it. You ought to go down there in the morning and kill you a deer. I said, man, I ain't got a bow. I ain't never bow hunted in my life. He said, you can borrow my son Matthews, and you go down there and sit in his stand 9 o'clock that next morning, Brother Freddie. Never shot the bow in my life, never. Never pulled it back, nothing. Four-pointer walks right under me. I kill him. I called my wife. I said, I'm going to buy a bow. I called Brother Robert. I said, where can I get a bow? I went to Dallas to the sporting goods store. I'm standing there looking at the bows and the arrows and everything that goes with them. I'm just standing there 20 minutes. And finally, this big old guy walks up to me and said, can I help you? Just like that. I said, yeah, I'm kind of interested in buying a bow. He said, there they are. I called Brother Robert. I said, where can I buy a bow besides where I'm at? He told me to go to a little place in Walmart. I walked in, hey, how you doing? What can we help you with today? Ah, I'd like to buy a bow. Well, come on, we'll hook you up. Yeah. What are you saying? I'm saying the man in Dallas lost $700 because he's a jerk. Yeah. The man in Dallas lost years of business because he's a jerk. And he lost a bunch of more business because I told everybody else I saw he's a jerk. Amen. Well, you say, I'm saying your words will make a difference in your life, and it'll come back and make a difference in you. Amen. It'll come back and get you. Amen. You'll get a lot better response from people if you just be nice. Amen. Get a whole lot better response if you'll just be nice. Watch your words. We ought to set a guard over our mouth continually. You ever have to bite your lip? Keep it up. You're doing a good job. Amen. Don't say everything you'd like to say. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes you men with your wives, you'll just hush. Sometimes you'll just let her alone. Amen. My grandmother used to have a big old yeller cat. And it wasn't one of them cats that you pet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It stayed in the barn. In the middle of the night, you could hear them wharf rats. I'm talking about rats look big as a possum, man. You could hear them. Boy, that cat was whooping them rats. I mean, it was bad to the bone. And we found out, the more you mess with that cat, the madder it'd get. It looked like one of them Halloween cats. It'd bow up in its back and its hair would stand up. Amen. We figured out, the best thing you can do with that old cat, leave it alone. Let it go up back under the barn with the rats. That's where it was happy. Leave that sucker alone. Sometimes you ought to leave that cat alone. Before she bows up and the hair stands up. Amen. Sometimes it's better if you just don't say nothing at all. Did you know your opinion doesn't always matter? Matter of fact, most of the time it doesn't. You know the best time to give your opinion? When you're asked for it. You know when not to give your opinion? When you're not asked for it. My mother used to tell me all the time, if I wanted your opinion, son, I'd have asked you. Yeah. Thought I'd offer, amen. Yeah. I felt it my sworn duty because I have all this wisdom as a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Tell you how to run this house.
Yeah,
y'all all right?
Yeah.
Just thought it was my duty, Mom, tell you how bad you messing everything up. Amen. She told me one time, if I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you. I said, what? Watch your wheel. Watch your ways. Watch your words. Watch this one. I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9 said, we are laborers together with God. Watch your work. Watch your work. Make sure you're not busy in selfish pursuits. Let me tell you something. I don't know how close Terry and Stacy are. Where are they at? Give me that paper they gave you a while ago. This is not what the bus ministry is about. This is nothing more than an encouragement for doing a good job. Let me say it again. If this is what you're working for, you got high aspirations, don't you? It ain't even in color, for God's sake. What are you working for? Every one of those numbers, those 38 numbers, they represent 38 people.
That's right.
It's not the paper. It's not the chicken. It's fun and games. It's not why we do what we do. The reason you teach your Sunday school class is not because you're a biblical genius. I've met very few of those in my lifetime. The reason we do it is because of the people. Period. To honor and glorify God. Watch your work. Why are you doing what you're doing if you're doing anything at all? Let me give you a little challenge. Why don't you keep track of how many tracts you hand out? I'm not saying that you got to hand out so many tracts a week to be right with God, but you'll keep track of how you're doing. Y'all okay? A couple weeks ago, I grabbed me a handful and stuck them in my truck. Me and Sister Angie, we go out to eat at least once a week. We have a little date night. And I noticed the other night, I'm out of them tracks that you leave with your tip. The little, got a coffee cup on front of it, I believe. What's it called, Brother Jerry? It's a hospitality. Thank you for your hospitality. That's what it said. I noticed I'm out of them. To be out of them must mean I got rid of the ones I had. Hallelujah. Man, the Lord, when I went to Fellowship Track League this past year, and preach, and I'm going again this next year in Ohio, man, the Lord convicted me about handing out gospel tracts. I thought, I can do better than what I'm doing, amen. If they're going to go to the work and the effort to print them, I'm handing them out, amen. I'm talking about, this is not my only work. This is my public work. But I got a personal work too. Teach a Sunday school class ought not to be all you do. Run a bus route ought not to be all you do. We ought to, every one of us, have a personal evangelism in our life.
Yes,
amen. We ought to be trying to reach people on a constant basis.
Amen.
You know what I found out? It keeps me right.
Yes,
it keeps me right. How in the world can I witness to the gate agent when I've just bit her head off?
Yeah.
How can I witness to the man sitting in the seat next to me if I've got the wrong kind of music playing, or if I'm looking at the wrong kind of magazine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen,
brother.
Amen. A lot of times you won't witness because of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? We ought to watch our work. Why? Stay off that short list. Stay off that list for next year. Listen, we must work while we have the opportunity. That thing is fading fast, Brother Freddie. It is fading fast. I don't know. I don't know if we're just on the verge of the rapture. I don't know if the Lord's going to leave us here to suffer through some persecution. I'm not sure. Could be. It could be, man, that we have to fight for what we've got. Amen. Right now, we're at liberty. And we may not be at liberty. You know what? This government, they may come put so many rules on us, we can't go get them kids. If they start regulating that thing like a daycare, we're in trouble. But right now, we're at liberty. Right now, we're at liberty. Right now, we're at liberty preaching the streets. Right now, we're at liberty to knock on doors. There's no law against it.
Come on, bro. That's right.
And we better do it while we can.
Yes, bro.
Amen. I said, we better do it while we can.
Yeah.
Watch your work. You'll find out when you get sideways with God and your heart ain't right and you're cold and you're bitter and you're hard, you ain't doing nothing. Or if you are, your heart's not in it. If you are, it's self-serving. It's not for the honor and the glory of God. I told the Lord in my office this morning, I said, God, I got a toothache. He said, I know. I said, I'd rather get somebody else to preach. He said, go ahead if you think it'll be all right. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, Lord. I imagine you had a pain or two when you hung on Calvary.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet an abscessed tooth wouldn't even compare.
Yeah.
But you went on.
Amen. Amen.
It amazes me what people go to work with and what they'll stay home from church for. Pray for me. I've got to go to work in the morning. I've got a fever of 104. I understand. I've got to serve God too. Or I'll die. I've got to stay busy or I'll croak. Just 12 months from now, probably I think we'll probably plan to do this again, Brother Freddie. I liked it. I enjoy it. Next week's free-for-all Sunday. That means co-workers, just anybody whatsoever. Go after them. Get them to come. Somebody you meet at Walmart. It doesn't matter. Walmart, Brother Robbie, Walmart. It doesn't matter where they are. Just see if you can fill a pew next Sunday.
Amen.
Hey, man, I've enjoyed that. You know what it's done, Levi? It's give us reason to do what we ought to be doing all the time. I thought about that the other day. I said, these people, I ought to have done called them a long time ago anyhow. That family day, I would have been staying on that family all the time anyway.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. It's just giving us reason to do what we ought to do. 12 months from now, will you be on the list? Is it possible? It is possible. I'm not above it, and you're not above it. Some of you, if you don't take heed tonight, you're going to freak out when your phone rings 12 months from now and you look and it's Brother Eddie or it's Brother Freddie or it's Brother Charles or it's Brother Atkins or whoever the case may be, and it's going to dawn on you. I know why they're calling. I'm on that stupid list. And you know what it is, a stupid list. Everybody, Brother Freddie, that I had on that list, I couldn't think of one good reason. One real, they've all got excuses. But I couldn't think of one legitimate reason that I should be having to call them. Not one. The devil will give you every excuse in the world. But I can't think of no excuse to have God stop working in my life. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. Levi, y'all want to come and sing a verse? Y'all do that? I ain't sure how to give the invitation tonight. Just say if you need it. The altar's right here. don't think that I'm preaching down to you because I'm above that list. I'm certainly not. I pick myself up day after day after day. Question is, will we keep doing it? Will we keep doing it? While they sing, God's dealing with your heart, you just come. Maybe